I think, oh, my hair. Look yourself. So what's new in your world, guys? Anything good to share? Happy. We go for happy moments before our meeting.
Yeah, we had some nice trips. My family would be there.
We need, we will start the meeting in about 2 minutes. We'll start on time. And it's, I believe that's Susan Pike.
Yep.
It is. Why did it misname again? I'll have to look at it.
Oh, it did.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that fun? Oh, yeah.
that has something to do with two or three of your sons?
No, it actually is right next to it on the keyboard, and I've done it more than once. I did it once on a plane ticket. That was interesting. Let's try this again.
Sound like I heard Mike's.
I should make up a good story to go with it, but.
Delightful. I love Hello. People who are on time.
Apparently.
Signing down and.
Oh, I didn't sign in.
I didn't sign in.
That's good. I don't think we'd like you. Really.
Where?
Hello, hey, are you starting? I'm sorry.
Well, I didn't sign in. That's for the board secretary.
We'll wait just a couple minutes for everyone to get settled.
Good evening. It is 6:32, and I'd like to welcome everyone to the three board meeting. It's a joint meeting with members of the Board of Selectmen, the Board of Finance, the last Board of Finance, and the Board of Education, Wednesday, November 1st, 2023. And it has a special meeting agenda. At this time, we did add, even though it's a special meeting agenda, the public comment. So if Mr. Lolly would move his backpack and have people have the ability to come and sit if you need to address the board. But we would like to ask the public if you would like to take 2 or 3 minutes to address the three boards, please step forward. Please give your name and address and the topic which you'd like to address the board for 2 to 3 minutes. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Sylvia Ondra. I live in 48 Stonehenge Lane in Bolton.
Sylvia, and would you spell your last name for the recording?
Oh, of course. It's O-U-N, P as in Peter, U-U. I've been a resident for Bolton for 33 years. I provided to Jim Rupert, maybe too late, but yesterday, a letter in advance of this meeting. The purpose of the letter was to ask the Bolton Board of Selectmen to support a submission by the Transit Authority of Bolton, the local Transit Authority of Bolton, the LTA, to request the Connecticut DOT to correct the recently repainted lines or the white lines on Route 44 in Bolton. They get repainted every 2 years, and they have just been repainted on top of the current lines. The goal of this request is actually to reduce the lane widths to 11 feet, consistent with the DOT guidelines for this category of road. Currently, they vary anywhere from 11 feet to 17 feet wide in this corridor in Bolton. So the reason for these reduced lane widths is to increase safety for all road users, including the cyclists and pedestrians that currently use that corridor. So it's been proven that reduced lane widths reduce motorist speed. This will also increase the width where cyclists currently travel along that road. So I want to clarify, this is not about adding bicycle lanes. It's about reducing the current lane widths. Ultimately, we would like the Bolton Board of Selectmen to support 11-foot lane widths for all Bolton roads to improve safety for all users. Thank you.
Thank you. That's very clear. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thoughts? Anyone else?
Hi, Barbara Modio, 50 Volpe Road, Bolton. I've been here for 47 years, so I'm new to the town, as a lot of people tell me. But I think we are maybe at the wrong meeting. I'll be quick. I'm just noticing there's a lot of chatter online in the community about high-speed traffic rates and unsafe walking and running and cycling opportunities and in the neighborhoods. And so it seems to me that the town could use a cohesive mechanism for sharing diverse opinions and presenting solutions to this ongoing situation. And I'm asking that after the elections, when we know who's going to be in charge of the town, a community group with government representation might be established to address a situation and present findings to the appropriate boards.
Thank you for the suggestion.
Okay.
You're more than welcome to come on the 14th to address the last board of selectmen meeting.
That's what we thought we were at. Let's do that again.
That's absolutely fine. Thank you very much. Is there anybody else who'd like to address the board? Nobody online? Very good. Well, thank you, everybody. As we move on the agenda, first, we're going to go on to number three, the discussion of the Columbia student count. Would the chairman of the Board of Education like to address that?
Other than the number,
would you give your name just for the
Andrew Burnell?
Thank you.
We have 17. The distribution is approximately 4 to 5 in the 4 high school grades. That represents a lower average than a few years ago, and certainly when the high school was conceived and passed. There are a number of reasons for the lower count, including lower enrollment in the town of Columbia, increased options. There's a wave of people that are going into the trades more, so the technical school is getting more kids than they used to. And the magnet schools never have had increased appeal, or they have reached out to the Columbia community more than they have in the past. So magnet schools didn't used to get a lot of Columbia kids, and now they're getting more. So there's an increased spread of students going to different places.
Thank you very much. I think that's pretty clear. If there's no discussion, we will move on then. I'm going to just make it clear as chairing this meeting, you have a packet before you. I presume everybody has looked through the packet. You have the information before you. We won't go through each and every document. And we will just, the purpose of the meeting is to highlight what's happening between the boards, so you're all informed on what's going on in the other boards.
May I ask a question of the board, of the chair?
Yes, sir.
Andrew, is there anything, is the Board of Education, do you have an ongoing inquiry as to what sources of other students could be brought into the high school? Do you have a plan for that, or a process where you're looking at those options?
We have started looking at some options. I think the discussions will increase when the new board is seated, but the options are somewhat limited. We have inquired as to how we could attract more Columbia students. One of the suggestions is that a lot of Columbia kids don't like our sports system and facilities, which will come in later on in the agenda, but so kids who want to play sports tend to go to E.O. Smith. We have had more and earlier outreach to Columbia to try to attract more students there. Hartford is an option that we've increased a couple seats, and I think there was a couple of older Hartford students that came into the Bolton school system this year. We have generally been bringing them in at younger ages. So as far as high school enrollment is concerned, that's not going to be a big factor. The acceptance of tuition students has started to be explored. But I think we are going to have a larger conversation about it again after the
big anybody course. Have you made any reaching out to either Manchester, Vernon?
About
sending students to Manchester's?
Not at this time. We haven't. I think we, during the last budget cycle, the conversation was raised more and sort of expanded. And I think we've just started looking at it more seriously as to even what the options are.
Madam Chair, may I speak on this topic?
Mr. Moore?
One of the issues, and Adam, you bring up a good point. One of the issues that's been bugging the hell out of me is the barrier that the state of Connecticut has put forth, not allowing students from one public school to transfer to another public school. And that's simply not just transfer, but whatever funds that student has transfers to here. So Manchester student transfer to Bolton, Bolton student transfer to Manchester. It's like a simple solution to a problem that's not just the Bolton problem, but exists throughout the state of Connecticut. And you want better equity in school systems, you want better parity, you want to improve it. This is a simple way. Why does not Hartford simply ignore this? Anytime it's brought up, the red flag that goes out, or you're trying to get the state to pay for kids to go to private schools. This is not public. Simple solution.
If I may, Mr. Moore, the issue of money following the child has been brought up at the legislature probably every year, and it does not move forward. So this would behoove this board and any other board that would like to, if you wish to go to Hartford and testify and make a comment, absolutely. But for the Legislative Education Committee.
So thank you for letting me vent. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Usually meets Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. If there's no further comment on that, then we will try and move on then. Discussion on how we determine the Board of Selectmen, Board of Ed representatives for the new Finance Committee. Who would like to begin that discussion?
Well, it appears it's one and one. You two members from the Board of Selectmen, two members from the Board of Ed. It was my understanding, maybe I'm wrong, that it would be a member from each party. In other words, if it's from Board of Selectmen, or Republican, or Democrat, Board of Ed, likewise.
Technically, it's can't be of the same party.
Can't be the same party.
Right.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean.
Well, it could be an unaffiliated.
It could be not part of you.
Yeah.
Unaffiliated.
Yeah.
But it's a little different because the Board of the Board of Selectmen representatives, the first one is chosen by the first selectman. It's either the first selectman or the first selectman's designee.
Yeah.
The second one is chosen by the board as a whole, like any other appointment. Somebody's right. Nominated and the board votes. And I think the Board of Education does the exact same thing for their two. They nominate two people and they vote on those two people and appoint them. It's an appointment. It's unusual for a Board of Education to do an appointment, but that's what they're doing. Yeah. So, and they're doing it for the term. And so are we. Yeah, it's that they serve a two-year term.
Four years.
But I mean, they're doing it for a full two-year term on the board of, on the finance committee. That's what the charter says. And so are we.
We
appoint that second person. When we appoint that second person, the second at-large person, that person is appointed for a two-year term to the finance committee. Mm-hmm. The first selectman can either serve or designate somebody.
Right.
And that doesn't have to be for a two-year term.
That could be for 1 year.
Right.
Okay.
Or that person could step back and then the first selectman becomes the board picks. That's the one thing we did that made the first selectman have control of that
spot. That one spot.
Okay. It's a, it goes with the office.
We have the advantage of having one of the members of the Charter Revision Commission sitting beside me, Mr. Teller. So he has a background and a history on how, what was decided, but how it was decided as well. So I'm very grateful to have you here tonight to have that discussion.
If there's anybody else.
The other part would be you probably all received a letter from the town clerk and selecting chairman. And so for this board, once everyone has been voted on and sworn in, voted on, and then would be seated on the finance committee, they, with the three members at large that will be elected, they will choose a chairman from amongst themselves. Is there any other discussion? Any other questions?
I had a quick question, if I could. I'm just thinking out loud. What if there's no one who's willing to do that extra service?
We lock the room and they can't leave until someone replies. And that's in jest, please. That is a good discussion, but I think there is a hope that there will be cool heads that will prevail, and there will be people that will be willing to step forward. Yes.
So it's my understanding that this finance committee is in lieu of the finance subcommittees that each of the Board of Selectmen and Board of Ed have historically had, or, you know, largely taking the place of that, if not completely replacing it. So the boards already have people who've been willing to step up to those subcommittees. So presumably, hopefully, we have the same level of commitment to fill these spots instead. Am I understanding that correctly, Adam?
Is that accurate?
It's, well, first of all, the Board of Selectmen doesn't really have a finance committee because it's a committee of a whole.
Together.
We've always done everything.
It's a whole.
At least since I've been. We've done it as a whole. So, and I suppose there's probably an interesting question is what happens if there's a vacancy in a representative spot on the finance committee? Who gets to fill it? The appointing board has a duty to come up with somebody, right, from their membership. And if it stays empty forever, I guess the board goes forward with one less member, and they just vote with one less member. It's not great.
I think my question comes from the concern that, yes, we do have a finance committee on the Board of Ed, but I believe they meet once a month, and a Board of Finance or Finance Committee would meet quite a bit more often than that, especially in the springtime. So I was just curious as to what would happen if that should occur.
So you would have to have a quorum for these meetings, and a quorum for, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Teller, would your understanding be a quorum for 7-member board would be 4. So they could proceed with 4 members, and that would hopefully not be the case, but this is all brand new, and the future will show itself its hand soon. Is there anything further, Mrs. Pike? I guess not.
Mrs. Sorry, Vivian. No, I'm good, thanks.
Thank you.
This is the first I had considered the fact that we wouldn't have a finance committee on the Board of Ed. I wouldn't think that this would necessarily mean the elimination of that, but I mean, obviously, is there a different role, I guess, on the Finance Commission than there has been for the Board of Finance? Like, they're choosing a whole budget, and yes, the Board of Finance always would get updates from both boards for what's going on from budget perspective, but I feel like a lot of my discussions have been like, how much is codified about this, and how much are we just going to make up as we go along? And well, that's not too loose.
Well, let me read
your time, please, Mr. Keller.
Sure. First of all, each board is still developing their own budget. And there's nothing in the charter that tells the Board of Ed how they go about doing that. You could do it with one person. You could just take whatever the superintendent gives you and vote for it, or you can have a finance committee. the charter doesn't micromanage any of your internal deliberation or your process. If you've had a finance committee of your board do that work before, and that works for you to present a board to the finance, the town's finance committee, which is why I wanted to call it the finance commission, then you can still do that. Nothing in the charter says otherwise, nothing in the state statute says otherwise. For the board of selectmen, we've always done it as a whole, right, at least in my right experience. Yeah. We could do a subcommittee if we wanted to, but I don't think we're going to do that. Right. I think we're, because we are hands-on to that. The difference is that you're going to pick somebody or two people from your board to go to the finance committee and sit in when they actually vote to present a budget to the town. And if there are issues, like usually it's a bit of a black hole, the board of finance doesn't necessarily know why your board made the choices you made, because they didn't sit in.
Well, really. Actually, we do.
Some of you do, not all of you. And in the past, none people, there have been boards where nobody did. And have you ever seen a board of finance member at one of our meetings more than once or twice a year?
It has no power though at that point anyway.
Right, you're simply there as an observer.
My point is that there will be somebody in the room at the townwide board of finance committee that knows what went into the choices that made that budget right for the town, and that knows what went into the choices that made that budget for the Board of Education, and can presumably will advocate for what the board thought it was doing when it voted to spend that money. So that instead of seven people who have no clue why they voted to spend that money or only have tangential clue, there will be actually somebody in the room that can say, we talked about this for 2 hours and this is why we wanted to spend that money. Or we talked about this for whatever, or we didn't talk about it at all. It's not that big a deal to us. But it means that there's more intelligent budgeting.
And they will have a seat at the table and they will have a vote.
Right.
An equal vote, one of seven.
But the at-large people have the seesaw balance because, right.
Rhea, would you
have a question? It's my understanding that, because I didn't go to many budget for the finance meeting last year, but my understanding that Superintendent Hecht was like always at those meetings and really gave most of the information to the board. So does that change now, or is she still going to be being invited to the meeting?
That's up to the Board of Ed.
That's for the Board of Ed to decide.
And that would be the same with Jim, be it up to the Board of right Selectmen to direct. That's the power of the board.
So the Board of Ed would have to direct the superintendent to attend the meeting?
Do you do that now?
No, she just goes.
But that's an appropriate role.
It for is,
her.
Yes.
She develops
yeah
the...
Right.
Because
she knows all the answers.
Right.
And it is nice to have the pro from Dover with the background from both boards. And
Madam Chair, just on the
Mr. Moore
on Board of Selectmen side, that's why you also would have the administrative officer there too, because I don't care who the representative is from the board, they still don't have the same handle on the everyday operations of who really has a better insight on all the details. That's why I don't see that changing at all. I see that happening there. And that's for the benefit of the full membership on that committee from both boards. And I think it just makes, it provides a better base of information to make decisions. At least that was the hope of this going together.
Is there anybody else online that wishes to make a comment? Seeing no hands up. Okay, very good. If there's no further discussion on this, it will be a work in progress. And we wish everyone the best. We have a very special note I'd like to make before we leave this topic. And that is, we have Mr. Charlie Dana with us this evening, who has served on the Board of Finance. And this is his last meeting. So a very special thank you for serving, Charlie, and for your efforts and being such a loyal member to the board and certainly coming to other meetings as well and giving a lot of your personal time. And thank you to your family for the acceptance of you all of service.
Thank you.
And to those others who are running for office, thank you for stepping forward and deciding that you would run for office for this board. We have members who said they would run for this board. And so we're very grateful for you to do that because, as we all know, and we heard at the Charter Revision Commission, that it's hard to get people to run. So thank you again also for that.
Just
then we'll move on to number five.
Before we did, just one quick question.
Yes, Mr. Lally.
Last meeting of Board of Finance will be this month. Because I'm reading what the requirements were, is like the people have to be elected. They take office the second Monday after the election.
Which is the 15th, I heard.
Well, the election's on the 7th, so.
Second Monday, you go to the 21st.
So is it the 21st? Because then we have one other meeting. Because I thought at first that we had our last meeting in October, but it appears it's in November from my speaking with Jill.
19. I believed it was the.
I thought we had
the second, but I believe that my understanding was that for the selectmen, the term.
Because the term of office for each person, I'm reading from the package, for each person elected at town elections shall commence on the second Monday following his election. Mm-hmm. So then that would be the 7th.
Not the second Monday of the month. See, and that's where my mistake was. I thought it was the second Monday of the month. But you're saying, read it again one more time.
The term of office for each person elected at the town election shall commence on the second Monday following his election, unless otherwise provided by the general statutes or this charter.
So the second Monday would be the 20th.
20th.
Yeah. So then we do have one other meeting of the existing board this month on the 16th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Thank you very much for that clarification.
So do we lose you before that?
No, just when you thought you were in.
I'll be away.
Well, Charlie, we're glad to be able to say the special words tonight. Very good. If there's no further discussion, then we will move on to number five, the discussion on the budget and related items for the current fiscal year, next year, and subsequent years, including A, revenues, B, expenditures, C, capital debt, D, capital improvements. We'll start with revenues. In your packet, there is information which you probably have all looked at, and that is certainly we know what they have for this year. And at this time, for the Board of Selectmen, I would like to ask Mr. Rupert if he would like to address this particular issue on revenues. Is there anything interesting that you know of?
Nothing that I'm aware of that's interesting.
Thank you. I could share that what I know from, I've heard from the State Capitol, and of course they are going to begin in February, and they will close out in May, after the first Monday of the first Wednesday that follows the first Monday. And the discussions at the Capitol have been a discussion on the fact that they have a balanced budget. But one of the other issues that is heavily weighing, and that is the unfunded liability that is above $85 billion. So my thinking is that there will probably be very little or much new money coming to the towns from the state capital at this time. Now, all that changes because sausage is made and it's an election year. It will be an election year for them. So it depends how it all washes out.
For the state level, of course, you know that it depends on how much money they get from the feds and how much of the, and I will say the COVID money is drying up, if that will be replaced. No, that's all I got, really. Any other discussion we'd like to have on the revenues? Anything from the Board of Education? Nothing new that you know that's coming in that's exciting?
I don't think so.
In the future.
I can't think of anything.
And does the Board of Finance, Board of, the former retiring Board of Finance Chairman, have a comment?
What, on revenues and such? Mm-hmm. I think the only thing that we've been talking quite a bit in the Board of Finance is just the sustainability of our current approach. That is a rather large budget, and next year we are expecting it to be fairly contentious with, you know, the basically the people who just don't want us keep adding and adding to their tax burden. So we felt this was a kind of a pivotal year, and in supporting the, you know, the budget that was proposed by both the Board of Education. But I've had a lot of feedback from my constituents who voted for it that they wouldn't want to do the same thing again. So just, you know, just pass that on and to look at, you know, how do we, what do we do? It's kind of the discussion of what does Bolton want to be when it grows up and what's the costs and benefits of doing, you know, so.
Thank you very much. Further comment on revenues? Oh. Amanda?
I think, you know, and I don't have the numbers from prior years here, but I think, you know, it might be important to point out that this amount of give back, I believe, is less than we had at the end of last year. And so I think we've been declining in the amount of give back, which has been something that the public has talked about, is like, how closely are we budgeting, right? And are we ending up with too much money left over at the end of the year? And so I think, you know, all the board should be applauded for the work they've done to get the budgets as close as they have been, you know, and trying to whittle down that give back every year, understanding that, you know, whatever we don't get back this year, we have to make up in tax revenue next year. But just something that I know has come up in discussion with the public. So
thank you for the comment. Seeing no other hands or interest, just we can continue on that. Then we'll move on to expenditures. We'll start with the Board of Selectmen, but Mr. Rupert's right there. Is there anything new under expenditures, Jim, that you'd like to add? Or we know what this year's is. Do you have anything that you'd like to suggest?
No, I mean, I think, you know, I think one of the discussions that we've had, you know, with the Board of Finance, which I think is an important discussion to continue to have with the new finance board, as well as both the Board of Selectmen and Board of Education on their side, is I think we need to, you know, we've been pretty successful with some of the grants that we've applied for. And we know that there are some other grants that we would like to apply for. You know, on the Board of Ed side, I know one of their priorities is, you know, HVAC work. We know we want to put a roof on the school at some point in the not too distant future. They'd like to see the track and field improvements at the high school. You know, I think we need to continue to think of ways that we can budget for this. And I know on the Board of Selectmen side, one of the conversations that we've had on many occasions is thinking about ways that we can, you know, spend money that will help develop our business district. And I think one of those conversations we've had on a couple of different occasions is about trying to bring water along the Route 44 corridor, you know, to help the businesses that are already in place in our town and open up opportunities for future development in that business corridor. And, you know, we need to think about how we're going to fund these. You know, we were very careful when we made some decisions last year at the Board of Selectmen's level. As you recall, we applied for several grants, and some of those we decided to withdraw simply because the ask from us was going to be more than we could bear in the budget. So I think, you know, the approach that we took with the Board of Finance last year was to start putting money aside in our capital budget for these matches. And I think that's an important consideration. And it kind of goes to Ross's point, you know, what does Bolton want to be when it grows up? You know, and I think if that is a priority, for us, you know, we need to continue to look at those opportunities and continue to fund those opportunities over time, knowing that we can't do it all right now.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate that. And can I hear from the Board of Education?
On expenditures, I mean, Mr. Rubin kind of gave our wish list or impending doom list. As far as expenditures goes, we're right on track where we have been in recent years. And I know nobody, it's sort of a joke, the special education is never changing landscape. And nobody really likes hearing that, but it really is the thing, the variable that makes the for wild fluctuation really in our budget. And that's like was one of the big problems last year. So those expenditures really can change, and they are huge ticket items when help placements and those kinds of things are required. So, and a lot of it isn't always up to us. So we've been pretty good about keeping special needs students in the system and sending them out. But if anybody needs any special work or one-on-one people, those numbers change wildly.
Thank you very much. Any other members? Mr. Moore?
I just like follow up a little bit on Jim's comment. I think on a positive note, it's nice to have a little positivity for a change, but I think the aggressive moves that we've done in the past year or so in getting grants, which we've been successful in doing, and it's actually taking projects that we've been solely funding for in the capital budget, and actually we're able to fund them, finish them up, and complete them. And primarily because of the grant funds, which would have taken us years to complete. That opens up a possibilities there to again think, all right, we do have those expenditures that kill us are the capital improvement expenditures. They're huge numbers, those are the ones we're dealing with. We have, I think, a little better opportunity in that capital budget to start dealing with more of them. But at the same time, the one thing, the only way we're going to do it is through assistance of grant funding. And we're going to have to, both our boards are going to be spending our whatever year is there aggressively pursuing those grant funds to get rid of some of these major projects. That's just a fact of life. And we have been successful, and I'm pleased that we've gotten where we've gotten. And it opens up some doors, not huge, but it's a door.
Mr. Keller?
As we're talking about expenditures, just following up on Bob's point, as a board of selectmen, we may want to think about funding either a consultant or a partial position for two things, or positions for two things. One is looking for the right grant opportunities and matching them up with our capital needs or some of our other needs.
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody who's aggressively out there looking for state, federal, and private grant money that we could use for things that we actually are on our priority list, and then writing those grants. Because I know that Jim often, ends up doing a grant proposal at the very last minute, pulling things together and trying to get it in. But maybe we'd have a better chance of getting those grants if our chief administrative officer wasn't being pulled off of other things to do that. And we had somebody who was doing that all the time. And that might not cost us all that much. I'm not sure how much that would cost us. The second piece is that we need to designate somebody in town hall and fund that to do economic development in a real way. And by that, I mean doing outreach to things we want to bring here and trying to match them up with landowners or development opportunities, and make introductions to the Planning and Zoning Commission to see what will work. And that gives us the opportunity to be proactive and bring things here that we want to see here, instead of just taking what comes down the pike. Because it's a tiny town with not a lot of commercial opportunity, not a lot of commercial land, and some challenges with, not having water, not having sewer. in most places, we are always going to be on the last option list for a developer, for somebody who has a good proposal, a good business proposal. We're just not going to be top of mind for them unless we do something to jump into their minds. And the only way you're going to jump into their minds is if you're out there banging on their door and saying, hey, we got this parcel that's 40 acres that, you know, isn't a suitable place for one thing or another. And we've never had that in town. We literally have never had anybody doing that as part of their job. If anybody's doing it, it's a real estate agent or a real estate developer who maybe is out there looking for an opportunity or an investor.
And what Mr. Taylor's referring to would be something that originated through town hall, but would be, I think, perhaps multi-board.
No, it can't be done by boards because it has to be done by somebody who works for the town, who has the authority to speak for the town.
I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying that they would be looking to talk to some of these other boards that are appointed would have an interest in.
They'd be liaising yes. with especially the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Planning and Zoning and Conservation and Wetlands.
There was a time when the Planning and Zoning Commission was perceived as not favorable to development, but that just isn't true. It's just that so many times the applications that would come were marginal in their design or marginal in their inspiration. You know, they just weren't good projects. So they took a lot of massaging to make them acceptable. But if you start with going out to the people you actually want to apply to you for what you actually want to have, you're ahead of the game. And I just don't think we've done that ever since I've lived in this town or even since I grew up in this town.
If I could reflect back though on the grants, this board that has been seated the last 2 years has applied for more grants than boards in prior years that I've had experience with. We applied for state grants, we applied for federal grants, we applied for private grants. And we were successful with some, and we were very unsuccessful with others. But we know from the board's direction what some of the needs were for these grants. So we thoroughly discussed them, embedded them, and worked on it, and we used Patrice Carson for some of the work to help us on that as well. So it was a multi-staff effort, and we were pleased to do that. And we know that the Board of Ed has, we had the experience of having the library receive some grants as well. I don't want to misspeak and go down the list because I'm sure I'm making a mistake. I do know, I can share that Sprague, about 10 years ago, did bring in a part-time grant writer, and they were very impactful for that small town. Having said that, is there any other discussion on expenditures? Oh, Charlie?
Yes, I'd like to comment on a couple of things. One of the things is that the Board of Finance and our goodbye packet to the new commission, we touched on the subject of having someone act as a consultant for grant writing or get someone in and designate them. And we agree wholeheartedly with the thoughts that we're hearing about the grant writing and really taking a step forward rather than a step back or a step sideways, whatever, and pursue it aggressively. As it happens, I have had through the years, a considerable amount of experience with economic development coordinators. They've been hired by towns as a position. There are also consultants out there that are hired by towns to consult and assist the towns. You know, we could look at those kind of situations as well. The only thing I would be cautious of is that make sure we have a really good match, because I've seen more cases of the economic development coordinator, and that's the title that's been given to the position, being less than successful for the type of situation that they're in. And it's only because they weren't, I suspect, a good match. Mm-hmm. And I'm taking it as an example, as I was the assessor in South Windsor for a number of years. And if you're aware of what's happened to South Windsor in the last 40 years. They've had some economic development that went on.
Yeah. Big time.
And in spite of the economic development coordinators that were in the town, the town was really successful at, because they were in the right place at the right time. But Bolton needs assistance. So to get someone in to be a consultant, I think as a board, I know I as a board member, and as a town's taxpayer, would think that it's a good idea that's worth pursuing to see if we can get something positive out of it anyway. Because there's been ample opportunities that have been missed through
the
years.
This will be certainly something for the future of the three boards to talk about and work on. If there's anything new to be added to this topic of expenditures, I'd like to ask if there's anybody online that wants to add something to the expenditures. Seeing none, anybody here else? I guess we completed that topic. Let's go to debt service. Jim Rupert, would you like to address the debt service from the Board of Selectmen side?
Sure. Jill has provided us with a chart here that talks about the bonds and the refunded bonds and when we start to see some debt relief. And I think that really tells the entire story, you know, and that's when we, you know, I know one of the things that's further on down the agenda was talking about when we might be looking to do the bonding for the school roof. And I think we were looking at around 2026 when we start to shed some of our debt. Because the 2017 bond is the first one that gets paid off. And that one gets paid off in August of 2026. So I think you'd either be looking at that summer or the following summer, probably to work on that school roof. And fortunately for the Board of Education there, I'm on a school roof building committee in my hometown, so I can help them through the process.
That would be it. That's a great offer and appreciated. We know that 2026 sounds far off, but it's only 3 years away. So that's things to be looked at and looked at seriously. For the discussion on the issue of debt service, would the Board of Education like to make a comment?
That was my question. It was just answered this week. Are at the end of our, I mean, it's jumping the gun on the agenda a little bit, but we do.
We'll come to that. Yeah. I mean, very good. Anybody else from the Board of Finance? Very good. Then we'll move on to capital improvements. On the Board of Selectmen side, the first item on discussion is the temporary town office building and meeting space that we now have. Jim Rupert, would you like to talk about that?
So, sure. So the buildings, I'm sure anybody who's driven by has seen that the structure is in place. I can tell you that after the three units were put together, John Butramovich and myself went through the building, and we have a punch list of things that have to be done by the installing company. There are some things that we were unsatisfied with. So the buildings are there. We are getting them connected to electricity so that we can have some heat in there so that the folks from WillScot can come in and take care of the items on our punch list. Yeah. And our lease will not start until we're satisfied. I've had that conversation over the last couple of days with the company.
I'd like to say a thank you to Mr. Butramovich and Mr. Rupert for their watchful eye on this. They have been dogging it very closely and very impressive in their level of detail they've been following up on. And would you like to discuss meeting space, Mr. Rupert?
Well, I mean, you know, meeting space, you know, continues to be at a premium. You know, we have the space that you guys are in there at Town Hall. We currently have moved the registrars of voters into meeting room A, and in order to keep them as stable as possible, you know, our plan and conversation with them is that, you know, they'll be able to stay in there until the temporary building is ready, and they'll be able to move in there. I think one of the things that we have to consider here as we move forward is, I know that we've not made much use of the senior center for evening meetings, but I think that the time is at hand where we may have to start doing that, especially for some of our larger meetings.
Thank you for that comment. Any further comments from the Board of Education? Mr. Lally?
Just one quick.
The registrar voters hat? Yes, from
wearing my registrar voters hat. It's just bringing up the fact that we are going to be starting early voting next year, and that is going to require a space with handicapped access and nobody else really using it during that time except people coming in to vote early. And it's going to be for 5 days, I believe, for primaries and then 14 days for general elections. Thankfully, we exempted referenda, so we don't have to deal with that, but that's just going to be another hog for meeting space, you know, in general.
Thank you very much.
So just passing that on, that's going to start probably in April, early registration. Primary is going to be what, second, I think, of April. So then we have to start like in the middle of February, March rather, sorry.
Prepping for it.
And start then. Prepping before then.
Thank you very much for that. Amanda?
Jim, can you just remind us of how long the lease is and how much it is for?
So the lease is for a 3-year lease, although we anticipate having the structure in place probably longer than that until we find a more permanent solution. But the charter does not allow the Board of Selectmen to enter into a lease that's greater than 3 years. So we'll renegotiate that lease if the need still exists at the end of 3 years. And the cost is off the top of my head, it's not an exact number, around $3,400 per month.
Thank you.
Is there any other discussion on the temporary office building or meeting space from any of the other boards?
Quick comment.
Mr. Moore?
Once we get those in place, we're able to shut down the major portion of the old school. That's a heating system that will be shut down. That's electrical system that will be shut down. It will be those expenses that will go away, which really helps significantly offset the new building. John?
The cost of running.
I'm sorry, Mr. Butchmarvitz?
Shutting down 2/3 of the building is going to save us. We'll still have a decent electric bill coming out of the seniors with that rooftop unit, but not nearly what we were doing before and all those circulating pumps.
Can people hear it online, hear what you just said? Ms. Gutrovich, would you just come and join us up here? I know. Your favorite. We appreciate you just repeating what you just said.
We should definitely see the savings shutting down the circulating pumps and the heating system, just running that 2/3 of the building. We'll still see some larger bills definitely in the summertime with the rooftop unit and the senior center, but we should see a real good savings.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Anybody online have a comment? No?
I have a question.
A question from Mr. Clark.
Is there a lot of cost associated with customizing the interior of this to our needs, or is it already, I haven't seen them.
For the temporary office?
Yeah.
It is, Jim, you were very instrumental in it. I was tangential. Jim, you want to talk about the cost for customizing the inside of the temporary office building?
So that was built into the initial cost, and that was built into our budget. That is already done. Most of the issues that we have are with fit and finish. The middle unit is a unit that apparently took some weather when it was stored on their lot, and the flooring is in terrible condition. So, you know, we've got them coming in to redo all the flooring in the main hallways. They're going to, you know, instead of having tile in a couple of the offices where the 3 floors show, Those rooms are going to end up being carpeted. There were some cracks in the wall from where the units moved over the road that need to be repaired. There was some window locks not working. So there was a lot of things, but they were, you know, generally minor in nature, but the configuration of the unit was done while it was either on the site of the company or it was finished. If it was transitioned from one unit to the other, because it's actually in three separate sections, it came in three separate sections. Some of it was finished on site. So that's all set.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Hearing no further discussion or seeing anyone has any questions online, we will move on then to the master plan for the fire department, looking for funding. The Board of Selectmen had moved forward to try and find funding, and we were turned down for the master plan for the fire department. One of the discussions that we've had is what does the fire department need to provide the best safety for the town, the town's people, the town's buildings, and we were unsuccessful in getting that money. So it will be put into the hands of the new board when they get seated to go forward and see if they wish to go and continue to find funding. The fire department had come forward and had a discussion with us as a board regarding what they believed is a possibility of a need, and that was daytime coverage in the town, because so many of our fire department folks work outside of town. We're very short on people in town that can respond immediately to calls. So the discussion was, should we look at hiring some daytime coverage? The daytime coverage people could also be responsible for a lot of the small detail work, management work, looking at requirements that are needed for upkeep and that type of thing, because they would be on staff and on salary. So that was a discussion that's led to look and the need for a master plan, because we had also looked at expanding the town's fire, the Bolton Fire Department building. And so we were going to do a whole study on it to put pieces together. Is there any other, did I miss anything, Jim?
No, I think you nailed it. I just think it's important. You know, this is something that we need to move forward with. We'll try to have some estimates when the capital committee meets to make these, you know, to have these discussions. When we start putting together the capital budget.
Mr. Mora has been deputy fire chief over the years and on the fire commission and has a deep knowledge of the fire department. Would you like to address this, sir?
Yeah, this is, I think, a critical issue because the changing face of volunteerism everywhere, including the fire service, is changing. It's become far more difficult. And one of the issues that was properly brought to the Board of Selectmen is, you know, we have to plan for this. And it's a plan that goes beyond next year, the year after. We're talking 5-10 years and further out. And how we properly, not only fund, but how we man this, our fire service. So this is, I think Jim hits on it. We're going to have to fund ourselves, if we have grant funds or not, to work this plan out. So because the one thing we don't want to do is, it's tough enough trying to figure out where to spend money. We don't want to be duplicating and spending monies in areas that in 2 years from now we have to change. And we need this plan. I think it's a great idea, and I'm sure it will be funded some way. And I think we're going to need that for this next board to and ongoing boards to figure out how to properly fund the department so that it can function the way we want it and provides the services that the community needs. And I don't see it as a full-paid fire department. I don't see that anywhere in the near future. But all these volunteer fire departments have had some assistance with paid personnel in various forms. and communities five times larger than we have are operate that way. So I kind of see that's where we're going, but we have to have a plan on how we do it. How do we get there?
Our fire chief at the moment would be here if he could, but he is under the weather and is not able to join us this evening. Any further discussion on the master plan for the fire department? Anybody online? No? Thank you. Then we'll move on to number three, the fire truck. As you know, we've placed an order for a fire truck. We've had money set aside for it. We've done the bonding. There have been recently, a group from the fire department and the highway department. Is that right, John?
The mechanic.
Mechanic from the highway department went out and reviewed the truck and its staging. Jim, do you have a date that we're looking at accepting the fire truck?
Last I heard, we're looking at the delivery sometime here in November.
So we'll see how that goes.
Question on
Mr. Lally?
On the fire truck. At our last Board of Finance meeting, we discussed the fire truck. Jill said it wasn't bonded yet, if I am correct, but that we had a short-term loan and that it was going to be bonded in the future to pay off that loan.
Thank you.
So I just want to make sure, am I correct?
I think you are. Teller has had a comment about he hopes the rates go down. That's what we all do. Thank you very much for that. And if there's no further discussion on the word number 334, is that right, Mr. Rupert, for our truck? We will move on then to the three building septic, number four on our list. As you probably know, we had a long-term wish list from the Board of Selectmen, and we moved forward a year ago, and we were working 2 years ago, and we worked through the STEEP grant and received the funding that comes from the state to be able to actually implement this long needed septic upgrade, and it will also be able to be very helpful for the farm as well. What we are hoping for, and what took us so long, one of the things that held us up was a piece of it that went to the Department of Public Health, and they were unresponsive, and they had retirements and issues of who is the next person in line, and nobody knew how to do this, and this is all new to that person. It was a bureaucratic nightmare, and I will just leave it at that, and the Department of Public Health knows that that's how I felt. So I'm not being shy, but quit laughing, Jim. Is there anything else that I have missed on that, Jim?
No, we have the attention of the right individuals at Connecticut DPH at this point, and we are moving forward.
So we don't have a time frame for you, but it is a work in progress, and it's looking like a lot of the T's have been crossed. We still have some I's that need to be dotted. Moving on to the Herrick Park soccer fields, that was the next successful submission to the STEEP grant, the Small Town Economic Assistance Program grant. And in your packet, I hope you've received or you have seen, just to give you a quick overview of where it is. Most of you are very familiar with that piece of property. And we'll be moving forward with that. Mr. Butchmovich, do you want to make a comment on that?
Happy to be.
Would you like to come up here, sir? We're so happy to have you come back and join us.
After the beating the soccer fields at Herrick Park from all the rain this year, having a field over there is going to be able to let us rest some of the areas that we use from April to November with soccer. So that's going to be a nice addition.
Very good. Thank you. Are there any questions that we can answer for that particular item?
I got a comment.
Mr. Mora?
This has been one of my things for quite a long time. When we thought about this, we're actually, we were also thinking about the high school, to be able to have a new field that's properly drained, properly graded, and with the proper surface on it, where the high school could play their games, this could be utilized for that. And that's something that can be done now, not have to wait until we have finally get a project at the high school. So I think this is a win for the park, for the public, and also for the high school.
One of the things that I found was very distressing with the small town economic assistance program, by law, they are is a grant given to the town, not a loan. It is a grant, and it is the maximum amount is for $500,000. We did try, we sitting in this chair, went to the state capitol and also spoke to the governor directly on trying to get those dollars increased, because when the original bill was passed to create this, $500,000 built a firehouse in Hebron. Nowadays, $500,000 won't even put an addition of one bay onto our firehouse. So we had that discussion of increasing it fourfold so that it would be a $2 million grant. And of course, they all looked at me, and I probably should have said sixfold and then negotiated back down. So there was discussion, and as we know with the state, that it takes 3 years for anything to happen. The first year is like, what are you talking about? The second year is, yeah. And the third year is, hopefully you get it. The grant is available every year. And so I look forward to the Board of Selectmen looking at other needs for this town. But what happened with the Office of Policy and Management was they came up with their own comments that the STEEP grant, which was not a matching grant in law, they said they would look favorably on projects that had a matching, local matching part. So they did a little arm twisting on each and every grant, and there has been, from this chair, a great deal of pushback on that because it's not following the state law as it was written. And I was involved in the writing of that. So that's what I have for you as far as the Herrick Park soccer field. And we look forward to this coming about. Hopefully some work by next spring begun. And it will take a while, of course, as you all know, to get a field built, seeded, grown, and ready for actual play. So this time, there's no further discussion on that. We'll move on to the Board of Education. Item number one, the BCS school roof. When does the town think they would be ready to go to bond so the PBS can begin primarily work?
Sorry, ma'am. Can we go back to the Herrick Park?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. We're, at this time, we'll step back. We're going to go back to number DA5, Herrick Park soccer field.
So I think this Ashley is really big for the town. Huge. I think it'll make a big difference. The current plan, so it's a new field.
Yes.
Redoing the existing fields. So do we think the money set aside will actually cover that, or do you think that there could be a shortfall? How do we do that? Because we're talking 500.
Let's do two phase. John, would you like to address it first?
If I remember right from the plug.
It's your exercise program for the evening. Stand up.
I should sit here for the next 4 hours. I think I will.
Well, glad to have you.
The estimates we got from the engineers a few years ago was between the $500,000 and $700,000, if I remember right. So between the money that's in Kappa already, plus that, it should.
So that
because part of the engineering has already, we've already paid for it.
In a lot of it, yeah.
That's one issue already done. And we have, I believe, 90,000 already in the capital budget. That brings us 600.
90,000 is accurate. We're going to need to budget just a little bit in next year's capital to finish this, but we're pretty darn close. We're estimating $10,000 to $20,000 additional capital needed to finish the project above and beyond what the STEEP grant will pay for and what we already have in capital.
Very good question, Mr. Tellett.
And didn't we already have planned to put money in capital for this? This was a multi-year capital.
Right, yeah.
Anyway, yeah, slotted, so we had already correct. Slotted money in.
Right.
We're actually slotting less yes, now. Yeah,
we may but, be so asking for less than what we normally
should shifted we to put something in else.
Yeah.
So it's a yeah. It's kind of a windfall.
Yeah.
Okay. And so the existing fields will remain as is.
Well, once we get, hopefully the plan would be once we get that field usable, we can start renovating the other ones. Okay. So the kids have a place to play. And same when we get to the point where the high school is ready for their field, they'll have a place because it will take about a year, year and a half before the fields are playable okay. from the start of construction.
The huge, I guess, draw point to Herrick Park is the fact that it has lights. Mm-hmm. We, unlike many other towns, we actually have lights and a lot of towns don't. So, but, you know, unfortunately, it's probably not on the new field. It would be on the existing
no,
field.
No, so. I don't think the neighbors would like it too much.
Well, we already
it's right, well, it's right behind their house.
Yeah.
But the way soccer's using it from April to November, through the summer when they're using it, they'll be able to use that field where we could rest the ones that are being used in the fall. So that it's going to help us out an awful lot.
Mr. Whitmore, do you believe that we would be able to, with our town resources, be able to do some of the upgrades on the existing fields once they're resting? And his answer is yes.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
And was there feedback from the engineers just on the general grade of the fields, is it going to be a tough project or do you think?
Well, it didn't seem like it. There's going to be a lot of cut fill, but there should be a lot of the materials there.
When we originally viewed this thing, that was one of the key elements and we're looking at, okay, and it's a huge slope there. And the vast majority is cut and fill. However, because of drainage, you're going to be bringing in some material so you have better drainage for the surface of that. But it's not, you're not starting with a situation where you're going to have to bring in hundreds and hundreds of yards of fill. It's in place. It just has to be relocated. Cut and fill is going to be a major part of this initial work.
And that's a financial saving. Is that answer your question?
Thank you.
Very nice. I see no further comments on this. Then we'll go back to the school roof. Did you have anything else to add, Jim? No, he's gone. Okay. The school roof?
I was just coughing. Sorry.
Mr. Romney?
When does the town think they would be ready to go bond so BPS can be in preliminary work? I think that we discussed that a little bit. We're hearing 26 or 27 because that was an answer that Kristen yep. was looking for. To combine that item with the HVAC at BCS, we've been working at the school roof and HVAC as a total package mm-hmm. or a big project that's all should be done together, obviously, rather than putting an HVAC on the roof and then doing the roof or then vice versa. But HVAC, that's a big grant item that we could hope for or state money. It's stay tuned to be continued. There's been a lot of money for indoor air quality on the state level, and we're hoping that there's going to be an increase in that money due to COVID. There's a renewed focus on it. We do have a need for HVAC at BCS in particular, and we want to get the plan together so that we can be ready to move, because a lot of these state funding things require you to have either funding in place or certainly be like a shovel ready or like have your plan done, your engineering study and everything done. So it's good to have a target year to work on both of these and also be moving forward on it, which we have been in particular for BCS. And so I know the legislature has been talking about putting out more money for this. So we have high hopes that we can be included in some state funding for it. What's the BHS part of it? Just the energy management system? It's just for HVAC.
I think what she had this on the agenda for was the state came out
requiring school districts to do air quality testing every 5 years now. It's cost, the prices I've been getting in cost anywhere between $17,000 and $33,000 a year to have per school to have that done. And there isn't the funding for it. It's coming out of capital or something. So that's what we just wanted to make everybody aware.
Every 3 years?
Every 5 years.
You have to, even though your building doesn't change.
Every 5 years you have to retest and redo it. They changed the indoor air quality. There was things we had to do every 3 years. That's gone to every year now.
Mm-hmm.
And then the main testing as you recommissioning the building pretty much is what they want you to do every 5 years. Which is come in, they test how much air is coming out of each van. Make sure following the formulas, there's enough makeup air and all that fun stuff.
Good opportunity there to open an air quality testing.
Three companies in the state do it right now.
Oh, and that's one. So you really have a great bidding process. Three companies in the whole state.
Just another unfunded mandate.
Maybe I'll retire. That's what I'll go into.
All right, everybody, let's get back to
All right, so I skipped two because one and three are sort of similar, the same thing. Do we have any questions about the roof or the HVAC?
Mm-hmm. Can I just make a comment about what John said about the air quality testing?
Yes, sir.
Since we have two schools, it would be great if we didn't do them both in the same year.
That's what we're planning.
It would be a lot easier to fund it if we had, you know, opposite years for the schools.
Yep.
Right now in capital, there's the money for the to have them look at the high school HVAC, and what they're doing hopefully will also help us
with the planning that we have. Yeah. Okay. Sounds
good. And then we're hoping to do the same thing for BCS next year.
Perfect.
Very good. Anybody else online have a question? Seeing none. Moving on then to number two, the high school soccer field and track improvements.
Yeah, this was, Kristen had asked that this be added so that we don't lose sight of this. The Herrick Park situation is a nice option, especially I know this year we've had to move games. There was a really wet year 3 or 4 years ago, and almost the entire season had to get moved from the Bolton High School soccer field, which is inadequate. The track would be a new addition, and that would benefit the entire town, in addition to our track team and cross country, which we have very large participation in our track teams. And I think there's also a lot of people, you know, we just talked about earlier about the safety of running and exercising on town roads. And this would be a nice and attractive thing for the entire town. And, you know, potentially bring in some Columbia students who view our athletic fields poorly. But we had, I know, applied for a grant last year. Mr. Rupert kind of, and the selectman's office sort of caught wind of a grant, like sort of late in the, or there wasn't a lot of time. I don't remember the details that.
Congressional.
That. But
those are every year, so we can try again.
Yeah, that was the question that is associated with this is we obviously didn't get that grant. I think there's a lot of support for this kind of thing. And the question is, you know, are we going to try to apply for a grant for this in the future or annually, or
that is certainly a question, sir, for the upcoming boards.
Yeah,
and because we put the effort into it with the multi-board effort to apply for the congressional grant, one of the things that in my experience I've seen other towns have is you put in for it a few times and it comes to the top of the cream, comes to the top of the milk, and you can get it. But the good news is we have the base work done for the grant. And so we have the easier run up of it for the
future submissions.
Yeah, and I'm sure all the same people would be happy to renew their letters of support because there's a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, but the other piece of that is coming up with the 20% match. You know, when we originally applied for that grant, we were under the impression that we fell under a grant that didn't require a match. But when we met with the staffers from the legislative offices, we found that really where this fits the best is a grant application that has a 20% match. And, you know, we're looking at a roughly $3 million project. So that's not an insignificant amount of money. So we have to think about that and start planning for that. You know, I think everybody's willing to put the legwork in to go back out and apply for the congressionally directed spending again. But, you know, as much as a lion's share of it's free money, it's not completely free money. We've got to invest in it ourselves.
And one of the things to look at, too, for future board consideration is doing a private-public partnership and seeing what we can get for private funding as well. Is there any further discussion?
Give somebody naming rights to the
track.
Tell her.
We'll come back to order here.
Yes.
This is getting to be a little bit too much wonderful moments. We're going to move on then. Did you complete the discussion for number three as well?
Yes, I think so. That could be a topic for consideration for the new Kappa committee, which is not a Kappa committee, correct? That's the Finance Commission or committee is the new Kappa committee.
That's accurate.
Okay. So maybe some money can be, but that's a different.
But that's something for each of the boards to be highly aware of as it comes forward, but that's.
That's a good piece of information.
Mr. Brunel?
Okay. And on to number four, which I think was the one I need you for the best, but I know the concrete underneath the transition pads for ADKs.
Over at the high school, when you transition from at the same level from the concrete to the tar.
Where are we? Which part of the high school, sir?
Where? Pretty much all the way around the building.
Thank you.
The sidewalks, pads. Those pink ADA pads.
They have to be everywhere. The sidewalk touches the parking lot.
Right. And they go pretty much all the way along the front of the building, all the way around the front of the sidewalk of the parking lot, and then all the way along the back side of the side side of the building where the commons are. The salt gets underneath those pads and deteriorates the concrete underneath them. And then the pads start lifting up, becoming a trip hazard. We've been duct taping is the best way of putting it. The last couple of years trying to keep them safe, but they're really popping a lot now. So it's going to be a large dollar item that we're going to be putting in Kappa.
You saw cut a section up and then pour it
and then put the pads in.
Pads on it.
Go to the next.
Or you do, isn't there a stamped concrete option that eliminates?
We're looking at that, but it has to be, I'll let Jim say who had to approve the
stamped concrete. It has to be compliant with the ICC ANSI A117. And, you know, those little domes have to be a certain height. They have to be a certain diameter. They have to be certain spacing. You know, John and I have actually talked about this more than you guys probably really care to know, but you know, we've looked at, you know, concrete stamps, we've looked at cast iron pads that get poured into the concrete pad into the concrete sidewalk, and we've looked at the other option was a tile unit that does something that salt can't get under. This really was a design flaw. The pads were made; they were designed to be replaceable, so that if the little domes got worn off, you could unscrew the pad and replace the pad. But as John said, you know, it's a sidewalk that a lot of people walk on. The design flaw is that, you know, that even though they're using, you know, concrete safe ice melt, you know, when it concentrates under the pad, it just deteriorates the concrete. So the solutions that we've talked about don't include the opportunity for salt to get under the pad.
So, Mr. Rupert, have you made any inquiries to the feds or the state for any ADA money, grant or loan or anything that could possibly be leveraged by the town?
I haven't specifically gone out and looked for anything for that, but I haven't seen anything either.
Thank you. Maybe that's something for a future look.
ADA money isn't like it used to be.
That's true. Excuse me. That's true. Mr. Moore, do you have to comment?
Just a question. Is this something that can be a section at a time over a period, or is it one and done? I mean, I don't know. Sometimes it costs more to do it piece by piece.
I don't know yet, okay. Honestly. Right. But what scares me about that is that it's not just like, this section's really bad, and this one we could. They're all starting to pop.
Thank you. That answers that question.
You get the buses and cars coming through that section with the road salt on it, and then the road salt we use on that section all drains right to those, and it's going underneath it. So it's it's probably a one and done.
Yep,
I would think.
Yep,
I would agree.
Is there any discussion by any of the other board members on this particular item, the transition path? And is there, Mr. Teller?
I don't suppose there's any opportunity to go back to the designer on a warranty or anything like that.
10 years?
10 years.
I don't think so.
What do they use in Manchester along Main Street? They have the same kind of transition padding.
A lot of them use the kind that it's sealed all the way around, that the salt can't get underneath it. These, like Jim was saying, these were types that you could replace, so they're not sealed all the way around. And Ray Boyd tried sealing them earlier on, but it's just all you can do right now is caulk them, and that doesn't really last long.
Thank you.
We've tried a bunch of different things.
Mr. Bonilla?
Is this going to be a problem at BCS too?
No.
Okay. Those are designed differently. I remember when we redid the sidewalks, I remember looking at those things and saying, those aren't the ones.
No, those are a different style, two different things. Less area and different style.
Okay.
Those are the ones at Center School are the ones embedded that are staying there.
Thank you. Anybody online might have another comment? Seeing none.
Good.
Mr. Moore?
The ones at the center school, those are the ones that we supervised and did. The one at the high school was the one the contractor did. That'll answer your question.
That's very clear. And that is the advantage of having institutional memory.
Mm-hmm. What's left of there?
I didn't say that. And so at this time, we've come to the end of the agenda. I don't believe there's any item that we should revisit. But because this is meant to be an informational meeting to share between the boards to bring us up to speed of what everything else, what's coming up and what is happening at the present time. So I'd like to say a very special thank you to those of you that serve, those of you that are running for office again, and those of you that are retiring. It's been a pleasure to serve with you, and thank you very much. Hearing no other comment.
Move adjourned.
We have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
All right.
And the special meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everybody. And good night, everybody online. Have a good night.